That's why the Christian scholars and authors and theologians don't really talk much about that, because the Gnostics kind of came in and took over that idea of using pleroma, fullness, to mean the totality of divine powers. And that's really the definition that would be used. So if you came to a Christian in the late first or early second century AD and asked him for the definition of pleroma, this Greek-speaking Christian, he would tell you that that's referring to the totality of divine powers. And Paul was actually the first one to begin writing about this in the letter to Colossae, which we're looking at, but also to the letter to the church at Ephesus. There's two different times in both of those letters that he specifically uses this type of reference. And that was somewhere in the 55 to 60 AD range. Then later on, depending on who you talk to, some people say the Gospel of John was written somewhere around 90. Other people say it's more like mid-70s, so either way, or about 70. But later on, John also used it, and we're going to look at that too. So once you see this, once you begin to understand this, it opens up what Paul is writing to the church there, to the Colossians, to cause them to understand what all's gone on with them. And he starts off that way. He starts off saying, in whom all of the totality of the divine powers of God reside. And when you look at these, y'all can look with me in the ninth verse of the second chapter of Colossians. That is literally exactly what he said. We hit on it, theotes, last week, somatikos, and said the fullness of being God in a body or bodily. What I didn't understand at the time, because I hadn't dug into it that far, but the Spirit of God kept at it until I can stand here and tell you something that is absolutely marvelous. It's fantastic. It is so excellent and so good. We should just sit around and meditate on it. So what you're actually reading is, for contained in him dwells all the totality of divine powers of being God in a body. That makes perfect sense. And now when you're talking about being God in a body, you have something else to think about in your mind, not just fullness. Now, I've played with several people with this. What do you see when you say fullness? You know, and I've gotten several answers. Well, it's full. You know, well, what's full? I don't know. It's kind of like a container there. It's filled up. No, this fullness being used exactly the way the early Christians were using it, most specifically the first writing we had time-wise, is Paul's writing, is in him dwells all the totality of divine powers of being God in a body. Well, that's just filling out the picture for you so you can understand what he's talking about. All of the divine powers that God has were in Jesus because he was God in a body. Wow! And right there, I'd love to take off, maybe we'll do it next week, in the whole idea of the intellect. You know, when you say, I love the Lord with cardia and Suke, but also dianoia, those deep thoughts and meditations. That's your intellect, that's your mind, right? We don't think about the idea that Jesus was the most brilliant, intellectually genius man that ever lived. He understood things, knew things, taught things, walked in things, did things because he knew stuff that nobody else knew. He was the most powerful intellect that's ever been. And when you think about that, I guess I'm into it anyway, right? I'll be here briefly. I'll get off. Think about his time with Nicodemus. Okay? Nicodemus was called the teacher of Israel. You're the teacher of Israel? And you don't understand these things? Jesus understood them completely. And yet he was talking to one of the foremost teachers in the whole nation of Israel. This man had spent decades studying and learning these things, and yet Jesus looked at him and said, "You don't get it." He knew more. You think about he never shied away from any debates, not just with the Sadducees, who were the ruling elite, or the Pharisees, who thought they were all that. These people were steeped in Scripture. They had studied it their whole lives. You understand that? They knew what they were doing. Jesus had no problem debating with them and besting them in every time. Why? Because his intellect was far superior to anybody else in the room. Of course. He's God in a body. All of the divine power, the totality of divine power is there in him. And part of that is mind. And we think about Jesus, we think about emotion, we think about heart, we think about salvation. We don't usually think about intellect because the world keeps beating us up over there talking about us being ignorant. No, we're not ignorant, we're smarter than you. We know stuff you don't know. We understand stuff you don't understand. And it's not emotion, which causes it, I guess. Maybe it's not emotion. It's not feelings. It's intellect. It's knowledge. And the more you know, it's not blind faith. And that's another thing that faith gets a really bad rap. You know, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. See, several weeks ago we went through the light thing twice. You know, there's light beaming all around this room right now, and the light contained in this room has information contained in it, and you got a phone that you can get it from. That's real, okay? And you could have done it 1,000 years ago, but nobody knew how. And nobody figured out the electricity, nobody figured out the energy, nobody figured out the program, nobody figured out how to make it happen, but yet it was all there. Well, Jesus was all that 2,000 years ago. He knew it was all there. The power, the energy that he had and still does was amazing, okay? I have no idea where I was. Let's get back over to the fullness. So